Since I was already deep into the room, I looked at the body next. She lay on her belly with long black hair covering her face. Her skin, at least so far as I could see it, was caramel-colored, and she looked young. She wore gray yoga pants and a loose-fitting turquoise shirt. By her clothes, she could have just come from the gym, or maybe she was getting ready for a relaxing night inside. There was a large exit wound on her back. About a year ago, the sheriff and I had worked on a homicide in which a man shot his neighbor with a .45 caliber full metal jacket round at about 4 feet. The entrance wound on the victim's forehead was about the size of a dime, but the exit wound on the back of his skull was the size of a golf ball. Whatever hit my victim here was larger. This wasn't a handgun. It was a rifle. And a damn big one. Somebody should have heard it go off. Aside from the blood, her shirt looked clean. A shot at point-blank range would have left powder marks, but I didn't see any. I left the body and focused on the table by the front window. I could think of two scenarios to explain what I had seen. In the first, the shooter hid outside the parking lot with a rifle until the victim opened her door. The moment he saw her, he opened fire. Then he crossed the parking lot while carrying his rifle, dragged the victim inside, and then shut the door to hide the body. In the second scenario, the one I found more likely, we had two murderers. The first murderer knocked on the door and then ducked. When the victim opened the door, the second murderer opened fire. The first murderer then dragged the victim inside and shut the door behind him. However it happened, we have ample forensic evidence. Unfortunately, I doubted we could use it. A hotel room wasn't a public space, but even if we could find a usable fingerprint or hair that placed the suspect at the scene, he could claim he had been in that room weeks ago. It was a seedy motel, and I doubted the maids got on their hands and knees to scrub the place down between guests. We'd collect as much evidence as we could, but this investigation wouldn't come down to forensics. We'd have to find our shooter the old-fashioned way. We'd comb through our victim's life to find out who wanted her dead. We'd talk to everyone in a 2-block radius to see whether they saw anything, and then we'd use forensic evidence to bolster our case in court. It all started with our victim. I unzipped her purse and caught a whiff of marijuana. Inside, she had a glass pipe and several vacuum-sealed bags full of dope. It was more weed than a recreational user would have. Her wallet was near the bottom, so I pulled it out and put the purse down. When I saw the victim's picture on her driver's license, my heart skipped a beat. My legs felt weak, but I didn't let myself sit down. I hadn't seen this woman in 12 years, but I had thought about her often. She and I had lived together in a foster home in Chesterfield, Missouri, until her death. The police had never found her body, but they'd charged our foster father with her murder. I palmed the ID card and backed out of the room, my heart thudding in my chest. Once I reached the parking lot, I called my boss. "Hey, Travis, it's Joe Court. I'm at the Wayfair Motel with the body. I need you to come out here. The victim's dead." Travis paused for a moment, but then spoke slowly. "I know the victim is dead. That's why I sent you out there." "No, Travis, you're not hearing me. The victim is dead. I'm looking at her ID right now. It's a fake. It says her name is Kira Williams, but this is Megan Young." Again, Travis paused. "That can't be right. Megan Young died 12 years ago." "Yeah, but no one found her body. I think we now know why." For a third time, Travis paused before speaking. "I'm on my way. I hope you're wrong." "Me too." I hung up and stepped outside the crime scene tape. Several hotel guests had already woken up and left, but most were still in their rooms. It seemed like a peaceful morning, but that would change. If I was right, news vans from every TV station, radio station, and newspaper in St. Louis and the surrounding area would descend on that parking lot like locusts. Because if that was Megan Young in that room, and if she had died last night, my boss and his former partner had sent a man to prison 12 years ago for a murder that never happened. This would be bad.